Canadians went back home, eh? Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. We had two couples from Saskatchewan come down to Denver this weekend to attend church at Denver Bible Church, and my wife Cheryl and I got to have lunch with them, and they came over to our home last night and went to Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church and the Sunday night Bible study in the book of Romans. We just had a great time with them. So, hey, this is Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we had record attendance at the church on Sunday, so that was fun. That was fun. One, that's not our goal. Our goal is record attendance in heaven on Judgment Day. That's our goal. But it's fun. The more the merrier, of course, at church. 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. Let's see, just headlines first. Let's just start out with some headlines. Then we'll figure out what we want to talk about. In Britain, they are reforming their criminal justice system. Here in America, we shouldn't reform ours. We should do away with it and restart over from scratch. We need a brand new criminal justice system. But in England, they're reforming their system, and Tony Blair is trying to do away with double jeopardy, the legal protection against double jeopardy where you can't be tried twice for the same crime. And where have you heard that before? Where have you heard that before, that it should be done away with? Where have you heard? We got some people with good memories in the Bob Enyart Live studio audience. Yeah, right here on Bob Enyart Live, double jeopardy is a mistake. Double jeopardy is not an absolute right that you have as a human being. If you get charged with a crime and you're found not guilty, and then we find out that you videotaped yourself raping and murdering some woman, and we got the videotape, you think we're just going to let you go? That's what liberals think, and conservatives get so goofy. As soon as a right is established, they think it's somehow handed down from God, from heaven above. So anyway, Tony Blair, he's a liberal, of course, in England, but glad that he is trying to scrap the double jeopardy, and they're doing other reforms of the criminal justice system in Britain. We'll talk about that a bit later. But all right. Bob Enyart Live, as far from the cutting edge of societal evolution as you can get. Right here, 1-800-836-9278. And then we're trying the snipers in Virginia first because they have the best chance of getting the death penalty there. And even in Virginia, we've got this story. Maybe we'll do this later. Even in Virginia, the prosecutors have to prove that the person on trial actually pulled the trigger in order to get the death penalty. Now, why in the world would that be? And that's the best case for these guys. That's the best case. What a shame. Of course, we've got a terrorism law that they fall under, in which case you don't have to prove that it was the trigger man. Just being part of the terrorist effort, just being an accomplice, could get you the death penalty. Of course, should get you the death penalty. All right, what else do we have? All right, so that's in England and in Virginia. Now, do we want to go further away or closer to Denver? Further away in Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, the head of the new Afghan government, their president, he was complaining that the media always says that Afghanistan is torn between ethnic groups. And he said, now this must be either a typo or he's just maybe not as comfortable with English as we all imagine he is. But he said, it's just not true. We are a nation, a united nation. There are individuals, perhaps, but believe me, we are, as a nation, we are one. There are individuals, perhaps. Now, is he a lefty or what? Is he a leftist or what? There are individuals, perhaps. Perhaps there are individuals. And that's leftist. They despise individual responsibility and really individualism, regardless of their claims. But anyway, I'm sure that was just a Freudian slip. There are individuals, perhaps. Here in Colorado, let's see here. Here in Colorado, we have right up the street, right down the street from our underground bunker, here where we host Bob and Yurt Live, our KGov studios, KGOV.com, worldwide on the web, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And our flagship station out of Denver, KLT, not far from KLT, right down the street from our underground bunker, is the National Renewable Energy Laboratory in Golden, Colorado. And that's where they make, what else is Golden known for? Oh, yeah, that's where they brew that homosexual drink, that queer beer. Is that what they call it, queer beer? Coors Light? Yeah, ever since Coors started advertising in homosexual magazines, we've been calling it queer beer. We were real glad when the Southern Baptists decided to boycott Coors. It's a good move. At any rate, yeah, their sales really plummeted. I'm only kidding. It's just a joke. I'm not Southern Baptist, but I really like Southern Baptists. I'm closer to a Baptist than anything else. Right? My engineer, you're a Baptist, right? I'm closer to a Baptist than anything else. 1-800-8-N-YARTS, 1-800-836-9278. The National Renewable Energy Laboratory has really made quite an achievement. They've improved these photovoltaic cells. You know, these you put it out in sunshine and it converts sunlight into electricity. And until this latest development, the best we got as far as how efficient these solar cells are, as far as what percentage of the incoming energy do they actually transfer into electrical energy, up until now it was almost a third. And now it's over a third of the energy coming in from the sun. They can convert 34% of the energy coming from the sun that hits the cell, they convert into electricity. Pretty good. That's cool. God told us to have dominion over the earth and our resources. Hey, Bob and Yurt Live, we'll be right back. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Yurt Live. That's what you got when we take the principles in the Bible and apply them to the news of the day. If you appreciate Bob and Yurt Live, I'd like to ask you to consider supporting this program in Denver alone. Now, we're actually doing pretty well in some of the cities around the country as far as hanging in there financially. But in Denver, we need help. We really need your help. And I'd like to spell out the most direct way so that you can sort of gauge how much help we need and what it'll take for how much help we need. We need 20 of you out there to help us out with a pledge of $100 a month ongoing so that Bob and Yurt Live could stay on the air and grow in Denver. 20 of you, $100 a month. We really need that level of help. If you live in a city somewhere else around the country listening on radio, or you listen via satellite or the Information Radio Network on the web at kgov.com, of course, we'd love and appreciate your help. And the station we're on in your city, it very well may be that we need more help to stay on in your city. But Denver is really our focus right now, because it's our home city and we want to stay on the air in Denver. So if you can help, please call us now or right after the show. I'd love to talk to you at 1-888-8-NYART. That's 1-888-836-9278. Call, and if you can make a pledge of $100 a month, we'd be thrilled. If you're interested in finding out more about Bob and Yurt Live, you could order our videos, audio tapes, the plot manuscript, and help out. For those tuning in on the web, hey, if you listen in the Denver area, this last bit of this commercial break is just for people listening on the web. And so I'll give you a bit more information. The cities that we're on around the country, we're on five cities, and most of the cities were sort of hanging in there financially, taking in maybe somewhere near the amount of money we need to pay for the airtime. And then we have a handful of friends who help make up the difference. Well, in Denver, I don't know what it is, but Denver, we're not getting anywhere near the support we need to stay on the air. And we'd love to stay on the air here because it'll help build Denver Bible Church even. So if you can help us, please give us a call. I'd be happy to talk to you right after the show. Any night would be great. 1-888-8-NYART. We're back, Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So right down the street in Golden, Colorado, they improved the solar cells that we convert sunlight to electricity with. We went from 32% efficiency to now, and this is big. In the world of squeezing out efficiency from technology, making a 2% leap is big. We now got 34%. God said to have dominion over the world that he's given us, and that's what we human beings should do. Animals can't do it. Animals can't figure out how to turn sunlight into electricity. And they can't figure out how to sell it a certain price per megawatt. They can't figure that out. We human beings can, and we're doing it. You know, I congratulate the scientists, the engineers who've done that. Hey, and in Colorado, like many of the states in the western U.S. especially, there's been a drought for a few years, and everybody's panicking. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we don't panic over droughts. In fact, we encourage people to use as much water as they possibly can so that it'll force liberals in government to build more dams, because you want to use as much water as you can to force the government to increase our, you know, reservoirs. The fact that reservoirs are a bit low right now, that's what they're for. That's what they're for. In times of excess rain and snow, they fill up. And so we just let the water pour over the sides. They fill up. And then when there's a drought, they get lower. And then when it's a natural cycle, then they fill up, then they get lower. They fill up, get lower. Back in 1999, the snowpack in the Rocky Mountains was 65% of average. And that was the beginning of our drought. In the next year, 2000, it went to 90%. Then the next year, it was back down to 87. And this year, 2002, well, this past winter, that is, it was only 52%, about half. So it's pretty serious. But now the experts are saying, the state's climatologists are saying the drought most likely is we've experienced the worst of it, and things are likely to get better. So reservoirs, That's to a reservoir, your reserve. And it goes, it's supposed to change up, down, up, down. That's normal. Nothing to worry about. Use as much water as you can. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-836-9278. Water, a renewable resource in Indianapolis. Lisa King.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good. There's a last name to this caller.
Well,
hi,
they
Lisa
know me,
King.
I guess.
Lisa, you're the Bob and Your Live representative in Indianapolis.
That's right. That's why I was calling. I just wanted to let people know that the show really does need their help. And another way that people can help is by soliciting the sponsors and using the people that do commercials on the show.
Well, for example, in Indianapolis, we have a couple fine sponsors.
Right, like Justice Auto Center. You know, most of us get oil changes, so why not use somebody?
Go to Justice Auto Center.
That's right.
And what if you need a mortgage?
That's right. And you have to go to Winterwood Mortgage and ask for John Simon.
That's right.
And also let people out there know that they can have an ad on Bob and Yart Live, too, in any of the cities. The rates are excellent.
Hey, Lisa, what if somebody wanted a national ad? Now, you're our Indianapolis rep, but would you go through, you know, would you help us out and put a national ad on?
Of course.
And
absolutely.
Then it would air.
And that would be in all five cities, so that would be great. And I remember a few years back you had a car dealer on your TV show. And I remember a lesbian went there and bought her car because she knew
that it would be a good
That's
car.
Right.
You're
so
right.
You have a very loyal audience, and it's really great for everyone.
Lisa, that is funny that you remember that. I did not remember that. But that was Tim Gaylord, I believe.
Okay.
Gaylord Auto Sales.
It's been a long time, but that really stuck with me.
She might have been confused since it's Gaylord. It just might have been a moment of
confusion. They're not too bright.
You know, they can't even think straight sometimes.
But anyway, just let people out there know that that's another thing they can do. Of course, donations are always awesome.
Well, could we give out a business number, phone number, for if anybody wants to advertise?
Sure. If they want to call me in Indianapolis, the number is 317-557-3836. And they can do the commercial themselves, or you'll do the spot for them, whatever.
Yeah.
Works best.
Hey, that's exciting.
And we'll get it on.
So, all right, Lisa, 317-557-3836.
That's it.
All right. Hey, Lisa, thank you very much.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Oh, let me tell you something. Because you're helping us out in Indianapolis. Now, we've only been on the air for just a couple months in Indy, and we are financially, the show looks like it's going to succeed in Indianapolis. We're sure hoping.
Well, that is my goal. My husband and I are both really wanting it to stay on. We were devastated when it went off TV.
So we
don't want to lose it now.
Well, Lisa, we need a clone of you in Denver. That's our host city, Denver, Colorado, where the show is really struggling in Denver. And, of course, we want to stay on the air in Denver. After all, I pastor Denver Bible Church.
That's right.
So we really want the show to succeed in Denver. And in the commercial break, I just put out a call. If there are 20 people that could commit to $100 a month to support Bob and Yurt Live in Denver.
So, well, what people don't realize is we need a few people to help out a lot. Out of all the flyers and mailings that I've sent out, I've probably only gotten two or three people to respond.
And so what
we need is the few people that can to really do a lot.
When the few people that are determined will do
That's
a lot,
right.
And then if some people do, you know, what's a lot to them.
Oh, right. Some of them were just $25 a month, but that really helps.
Right, exactly.
So.
And, yeah, and people might be able to do that, but I want to communicate the need to the audience, especially in Colorado, and the best way to quantify it is to say we need 20 people that can pledge $100 a month, and then if Bob and Your Live goes off the air then in Denver, then that pledge, that would come to an end.
Right.
So if they gave a credit card number for us to keep on file, then we would only charge it as long as we stay on the air in Denver. And if we went off the air January 1st, then we would stop charging it.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, people, to keep in mind is that when you do it, you can kind of let Bob know what city you're sending the money from so that you can keep it on the air there.
Right. And Lisa, you know, I really hate asking people for money.
I know. In fact,
we did the radio show. We did the TV show for 5-6 years and virtually never asked for money. And it grew to 80 cities and we went off the air. And, you know, if we would have let people know that Cheryl and I cannot fund a radio network out of my pastor's salary, we just don't have the money.
Of course not. And people probably have no idea how expensive it is.
Right. And so we have some negative cash flow going on in different cities that we're on in. But we have a few friends that have stepped up to the plate and said, hey, we want to help. And they've been helping out with the shortfall. But, for example, in Denver, it's just too big of a shortfall, a couple thousand dollars a month. Mm. And so we really want our flagship station, KLT, to remain the flagship station of Bob and Eric Live. So we're hoping to stay on the air in Denver, and we'll see if we can.
Course. Well, I sure hope you can, too.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-8-N-YART. Now, so what were we doing? We're going through the headlines of the stories to figure out what it is we want to talk about on the show. And we're trying to clean up the French Quarter. We got a lot of friends down in Louisiana. But the French Quarter, I guess it smells too much like urine. And they really got to clean it up. They've arrested 11,000 people since June. Well, they've made 11,000 arrests since June on all kinds of, you know, mostly minor crimes, like shaking down tourists, assaults, and sexual assaults. You know, just stuff the French Quarter is known for. Urinating in public. So that's the homosexual haven there, French Quarter. Let's see. Here's a headline. This out of, the state of Washington? Breathing nitric oxide might ease the pain from sickle cell anemia. I guess so. I mean, If nitric oxide works anything like nitrous oxide, laughing gas, I guess it would ease that pain. I don't know. That's just the headline. No time to get to that story. We've got more important things here. We've got this out of Ventura, California. Now, we just took a caravan to California 2 weeks ago for a wedding. I got to perform a wedding and a really neat Christian couple. Of course, I can't give their names on the air, but Keith and Jennifer. But they're just strong Christian man and woman, married, and we're looking forward to getting to know them as a couple now. They'll be attending Denver Bible Church, at least to start with, now that they're living here in Denver. But so we were out in California, and while we were out there, we went to Catalina Island on the day of the wedding. We had some time early. We just had a great time. But at any rate, on Santa Cruz Island, they have this terrible problem with pigs. Pigs. You know, in the Bible, there's certain foods that were unclean, like pork is unclean. And it's funny, all the names for pig meat or pigs, they're all insults. Like you pig, you hog, you swine, right? Porky. But other animals is not like that. The Bible has quite an influence on our culture. Like the devil appeared as a serpent. You call somebody a serpent or a snake, it's an insult. Right? If you call them a deer, that's not an insult. Or a sheep. Is that an insult? Oh, because when it rains, they look up and they drown? I guess that could be an insult, come to think of it. Anyway, we'll tell you about the pigs on the island after this. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-888-8-NUR is the order line, and 1-800-836-9278 is the call-in line. But the secrets that we tell to people who tune in on the internet, you can actually call either line. Either line, and in one way or another, it'll work out. But if you're interested in helping to keep Bob and Yurt Live on in a particular city, or let's say on the internet at kgov.com, and you'd like to make a monthly pledge to that effect. Now, Bob and Yurt Live is not a tax-deductible ministry. Why not? Well, because the government tries to gag people who are spokesmen for nonprofit organizations and telling them you can't say what initiative to vote for or against, what politician to vote for or against. You got to be politically neutral. And so we don't do that here on Bob and Yurt Live, and so we're not a nonprofit. Now, of course, Denver Bible Church is a nonprofit. Denver Bible Church is, and that's because we have this outlet. We have Bob and Yurt Live. So, and people at the church listen to the show. So we don't, you know, we want people to be good stewards of their money, and when they need a tax deduction, then they give to Denver Bible Church and they get the tax deduction. But if you want a program like Bob and Yurt Live to succeed, then hey, it'd be great to help out with either by ordering a monthly, say our monthly albums for $34.95 a month, you get a Bible study album mailed to you automatically. That's one way to help. Or if you'd like to send the best shows, the best Bob and Yurt Lives, the best 8 shows of the month to someone, that's $49.95 a month. And if you give us a credit card number on file, then we'll charge it automatically. And then when your expiration date comes due, we'll call you up or email you and ask if you want to continue. But that's a couple of the ways you can help out. And if you would like to see Bob and Yurt Live stay on the air in Denver, if you could give us a call and say, hey, I'd like to pledge so much a month to help keep the show on KLT in Denver. You know, KLT is a powerful radio station, very powerful. In fact, when we get back on the air, I'll tell you how powerful. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-YURT, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I'm going to tell you about the pigs on Santa Cruz Island in a moment. But I just want to let you know about what it means to be on KLT in Denver. KLT is the most powerful Christian radio station in the country. The most powerful as far as the signal that radiates from their transmitter out of Denver, KLT, 50,000 watts. 50,000 watts. And because of the topography, you know, Denver's a mile high, 5,280 feet. Actually, it's not a mile high. The U.S. Geologic Survey they recalculated, they measured the altitude of Denver. And at the Capitol, downtown Denver, there's the state capitol, and there's a plaque there, 5,280 feet. They said it's actually 5,283 feet. So we're the mile high plus 3 feet city. That's a little awkward. I guess we'll have to call the stadium where the Denver Broncos are playing. Are they playing at home tonight? I guess we got to call that. Instead of Invesco Field at Mile High, we're going to have to call it Invesco Field at Mile High plus 3 feet. But no, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about that because we're still just going to call ourselves the Mile High City. So because of the topography, the terrain, the fabulous ground that their transmitter tower has, 50,000 watts of KLT. It is one of the top 10 radio stations in the country, of all stations, one of the top 10 counting. It's got a better signal than KOA radio does. KOA, which is a clear channel station, KLT's got a better signal than KLT. That's exciting. All right. Now KLT is not a clear channel station, so that presents issues itself. Clear channel is a broadcasting company, but it's also a term that describes the spectrum rights that this station ownership has from the FCC. But at any rate, not to get into that. We'll get to the phones here in a moment. But I just tell you what's going on with the pigs on Santa Cruz Island, then we'll go to the phones. It turns out they're corralling these pigs, a 60,000-acre island, and it's just been ruined by these pigs, these wild pigs on Santa Cruz Island. So they're penning them in. They're building these fences strategically, and they're trapping them into a small area. And then they're going to have a open season, and hunters are going to go in. I guess it's sort of like going to be shooting fish in a barrel, but then they're going to shoot all the pigs. And the biologists are just thrilled because they said the pigs are ruining the island. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-836-9278 in Longmont, Colorado, just about less than an hour north of Denver. Vince, speak your mind. Hello, Vince.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. I wasn't going to call in, but then I decided to because, you see, I'm a Christian, and I've heard you before, and I appreciate people out there who are not afraid to challenge, you know, the issues. And I heard you say something about the French Quarter, and I thought, well, you know, I don't want to get on the air and criticize a Christian brother for something. But I was just kind of concerned that, you know, the French Quarter, I would think that it's probably many things. And that someone might take your comment the wrong way.
So you're calling in to defend the French Quarter and to judge a Christian brother?
I'm not defending it, but I'm telling you that if indeed there are homosexual problems in the French Quarter, I'll bet you there's heterosexual problems there too.
Well, if you go past St. Ann Street, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a homosexual. But there probably are heterosexuals before you pass St. Ann Street. So you're sort of right. But what's the difference? So what?
Well, I think it's an issue with promiscuity.
Promiscuity is a problem, and heterosexual immorality is bad. But homosexual behavior is worse. It's worse.
Well, it certainly is condemned in the scripture, for sure.
Well, it's condemned far more severely than is fornication. If a man and a woman are not married and they have sex, what does God say as a general rule? What should happen?
I'm sorry, the phone cut out just briefly.
All right. As a general rule, if a man and a woman are not married and they have sex outside of marriage, as a general rule, what does God say should happen?
Well, that's fornication.
Yeah. So what should the result be? What should happen?
Well, they need a Savior to save them from their sin. And
they might already be Christians, but whether they're Christians or Buddhist or Muslim, in the Bible, if a man and a woman have sex and they're not married, as a general rule, what does God suggest?
I guess they should get married.
Yeah, right. Now, what if a man and a man have sex? As a general rule, what does God say should happen?
Well, I think we have an example in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, that's what God did. God executed them, but then God told he told men that homosexuals who are convicted should be executed. So God had a different opinion and a different approach to fornication and homosexual behavior. He called homosexuality an abomination. Now, it's wrong. It's a sin for a man and a woman to have sex outside of marriage. They should get married. In fact, I'll be counseling with a couple later this week that are living together. And as far as I know, they're not born-again Christians or committed Christians. I don't even know the couple hardly. But I'm going to urge them to get married. Whether they become Christians or not, of course, right. I'd love to see them become Christians. But if I was counseling, if I met two homosexuals, I wouldn't urge them to get married.
Right.
There's a much bigger problem out there with homosexuality.
Well, okay. But can I say a comment about myself personally here?
Sure. Come on. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I would just have to admit that the lure and the attraction of what goes on in a place like the French Quarter with the bars and the dancers and so on, that's a thing that's hard for me to resist. And I'm a married heterosexual Christian man.
I agree with you, Vince.
And so I think that just that aspect alone,
right?
It's a big problem for me, apart from any issue with homosexuality.
Right. Vince, I agree with you that, and that's why we Christians should fight against this promiscuous society we have, where there's virtual pornography on the covers of the magazines at the grocery stores, on our billboards, on TV, radio via the airwaves, audio, and in the movies. It's everywhere. And Christian men are as susceptible to sin and to covet and to lust as are non-Christian men. And so
I am.
Right. And I am also. And so we need to fight against that stuff. Now, in our lifetimes, we're most likely not going to win that battle because the Christian leaders have conceded pornography. The Christian leaders, like we had Bob Peters on the show last week from Morality and Media, and he would not take a stand with me that pornography like Playboy should be criminal. He like many Christian leaders in the country, in fact, many of them have gotten their lead from him in Morality and Media. They say that Hugh Hefner has a free speech right to sexually exploit women and put them naked on the pages of his magazine. And so if that's the position of Christian leaders, that pornography needs to be legal, it's no surprise at all that we lose every battle regarding obscenity and pornography, and that millions of Christian men struggle with pornography. No surprise when Morality and Media thinks Playboy should be legal. So we've got a battle at all different levels going on.
Yeah. Well, and the battle is also it's in my heart and in my mind is where I have the biggest struggle, because even if these things were made criminal, our society has tried to legislate morality to some degree.
All right,
in the past.
If you could hang on, I'd love to follow that up. Bob Inyard here. This is listener-supported radio, and even on the web, it's listener-supported radio. I don't know if it's official to call it radio on the web, since radio comes from the idea of the radio waves radiating out the electromagnetic frequency. On the internet, it works by a somewhat different principle, but we could call it internet radio, right? And our radio bill each month, to me, in my budget, the shoestring budget we've got here for Bob and Inyard Live, it's just it's It's big. Our airtime budget is big. And staying on the air, and well, and then the other expenses we have. For example, we've got a Minolta copier. It's a good copier. It copies how many pages a minute, the Minolta? Oh, 62. 62 pages per minute. And it does double-sided, a three-hole punch, which that's what we use to create the copies of the plot that we sell. And that thing is, how much is that a month? $1,200 a month. $1,200 a month, five-year lease, $1,200 a month. That's almost a mortgage payment. Some people are saying, hey, that's more than my mortgage payment. That's almost a mortgage payment, $1,200 a month. And that's just my wife. She pays our bill. She's a bookkeeper, and she answers to our accountant. But she pays the bills, and she's got to pay that bill every month. And she shudders when the envelope comes in at the P.O. box from Minolta Business Systems. Plus, the thing hardly works. Well, it works. I'm getting a no, it doesn't work from the engineer. It works, but it's a pain in the neck. A pain in the neck. Will I ever get a Minolta copier again in my life? I would cut a finger off before I got another Minolta copier. But anyway, it works, and we've printed out thousands of plots with that Minolta. And it turns out to be a bit cheaper than if we went to Kinko's or something to print them. But, you know, life is expensive, so we need your help. Please help. Bob and you're live, 1-800-8-N-YARTS. I want to follow up with what Vince just said. Vince, you said even if these things were made illegal, you'd still have this problem.
Well, I mean, the problem exists. It's in my nature. As a human being with a sin nature inherited from Adam to sin. And so even if many more things were prohibited by law, I would still have a sin problem.
Well, you'd still have a sin problem, but to address the sin problem, doesn't the Bible say to flee temptation?
Sure, and I don't want my son to grow up in a society where this stuff is flaunted in his face.
Well, he is, right? He is growing up in that kind of society.
Well, and it's hard.
What?
It's hard. We've got him in a Christian school, and
that's great. That's great. And a lot of the kids he goes to school with probably have cable TV.
And that's right. The stuff still comes in the home if we don't watch out.
Right. And the girls that'll go to the school very well may have loose morals, and they may try to seduce him before he graduates 12th grade. But because we have such a sexually immoral society, and children lose their innocence very young. You can't drive down the street from our studio without being assaulted by sexually suggestive billboards. So if the Bible says flee temptation, and we Christians, we tolerate, we accept a society that every time a man flees, he runs right smack dab into another sexually immoral display, then there ends up being almost nowhere to flee to. When it's not that it used to be you had to go to a big city and you had to go out in the dark and look for anonymous people. Today, it comes into your home, into your living room, into your bedroom, into your radio, into your kids' ears. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And if all that was illegal, as God would have it be illegal, if it was illegal to commit sexual crimes, then our children would have somewhere to flee to, and they could flee temptation. It wouldn't be on the TV and the commercials in between every set of plays on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
So that's what we're calling for.
That's right. It's hard to watch a football game together as a family.
That's exactly right, Vince. Yeah, we're just so discouraged. I try to watch a little bit of TV with my 16-year-old son, Nathaniel. I get so angry, just livid angry, and I can't wait for Judgment Day because God tells me that I am going to judge on Judgment Day. And the people who put the filthy commercials on in these family shows on Judgment Day, I'm looking forward to them standing before those of us Christians who will judge them.
Wow.
Thank you, Vince.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your call. Yeah, you know, the whole Hillary Clinton don't judge thing, that don't judge thing that Hillary Clinton started back in the 40s when she was in, what was she in? Preschool. And she said, don't judge. Ever since then, that's where that got started. We did the research. Ever since then, Christians have been seduced by the lie, don't judge, even though Jesus commands us to judge with righteous judgment and to judge rightly. And he says, don't judge like a hypocrite. Make sure you're not doing the same thing and then judge your brother or your neighbor. So, and then he doesn't only tell us that we're commanded to judge and that we have the mind of Christ, so we should judge all things, but he also says on Judgment Day, we will judge the angels, we saints will judge the world. Oh, am I looking forward to that. Let's go to Aurora, Colorado. Keisha, speak your mind.
Hi. I just wanted to say something about the death penalty real quick.
Yes.
I don't think that's always the solution because they could repent.
Well, is it possible they may repent if they are sentenced to death?
They could, but I don't think they'll get as much of a chance to do that, though.
Well, what percentage of people who are sentenced to death repent, get right with God, and go to heaven?
Not very many.
Well, I have one study that was done that shows it's 50%. 50% of people being executed got saved and went to paradise. And if you look at the people in prisons, the longer they stay in prison, the more bitter and hateful they get toward their victims, the judge, and God.
Aren't there missionaries that go to prisons?
Yeah, and with the missionaries that go to prison, even though they go there, the longer people stay in prison, if they're in prison for 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years, the longer they stay, the more bitter they become toward God, their victims, and the judges and the prosecutors. So what percentage of people who go to jail for 40 years get right with God and love God? Is it better than 50%?
Probably not.
Right. And, you know, remember the criminal who was crucified with Jesus Christ?
Yes.
There were two of them. One mocked God to the very end, and the other repented. And he said, we are receiving our just punishment. But this man, Jesus, he has done nothing wrong. And so, Keisha, this person who was being executed for his crimes, he did not say, and he was just declared righteous by Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit chose to put his words in the Bible. And he didn't say, you know, it's wrong to execute me. It's wrong to execute anyone. He didn't say that. He said, we criminals, we are receiving our just punishment. And God put his words in the Bible. Do you think there are a lot of passages in the Bible that support the death penalty?
I don't know.
There are. There are many. the Apostle Paul was on trial for his life in the book of Acts. And he said to Festus, his judge, he said, if I have done anything worthy of death, I do not object to being executed. That's what Paul said. And Paul is known, after 2,000 years, the Apostle Paul is known for defending his rights, for fighting for his rights. That's what he did. And yet he gave support for the death penalty when he himself was on trial for his life. He said, if I'm guilty of a capital crime, I do not object to being executed. And believe me, he objected when his rights were violated. So the Apostle Paul and that man who was assured by Jesus Christ that day he would be with him in paradise, the two of those guys stand with the conservative Christian position that the death penalty is ordained by God. And if you imply, Keisha, to the world that there's something wrong with the death penalty, let me ask you a question. Is the death penalty at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is the death penalty at the heart of the gospel?
Yes.
It is. Did God the Father demand the death penalty in order to pay for the sins of the world?
Yes.
So if you imply, as you talk to unbelievers, that there's something wrong with the death penalty, you are undermining the gospel. You're taking the side of Hillary Clinton and the homosexuals and Hollywood and the humanist, and you're profaning God by keeping people alive who should not live. And when you imply there's something wrong with the death penalty, you don't mean to, but you're also saying there must be something wrong with God the Father because he's the one who required the death penalty. That's why the Bible strongly defends the death penalty. It's the just response to someone who's committed a capital crime. It's justice.
So can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
When they were about to stone the woman and they brought her to Jesus,
yeah.
Why didn't he just let them stone her?
Okay. The Mosaic law said you should execute a murderer or an adulterer, right?
Right.
So that under the law, you're supposed to execute murderers and adulterers. And the law was given when, in the Old or the New Testament?
The Old Testament.
Right. And so you do agree that the death penalty was applicable in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Okay, in the Old Testament, when King David was a murderer and an adulterer, did God have him put to death, King David, or did God forgive him?
He forgave him.
Right. God has the authority to forgive the criminal. So Jesus Christ could forgive the adulteress, and he did. God does not have to repeal his death penalty law in order to intervene and to forgive an adulteress. God has the authority to be merciful and to forgive criminals. Although in the Bible, God absolutely forbids judges from showing mercy or taking pity on criminals. Do you know why God tells judges they can't forgive murderers, Keisha?
No.
Because they're not God. They're only earthly judges. Only God could forgive a murderer. You can only forgive someone who sins against you. You can't forgive a criminal who sins against the entire society when he commits his crime. So that's why God prohibits earthly judges from showing any mercy. We're out of time, Keisha. I want to thank you so much for your call. Hey, if anybody out there can help Bob and Your Live stay on the air, especially in Denver, call us now, 1-800-8-NUR. Make a pledge. This Bob and Your remind you to do right and risk the consequences.